You are listening to the Corrections Connection News Network, CCNN, your weekly news source for the corrections and criminal justice industry.
Welcome to today's live talk. I'm your host, Michelle Gasseau. This week on the Corrections Connection, we're looking at the importance of correctional education and how to maintain these programs despite budget cuts. Joining us today to discuss this topic is Carolyn Eggleston, Associate Dean of Administration and Graduate Programs for the Center for the Study of Correctional Education at California State University, San Bernardino. Eggleston received her Ph.D. in Correctional Education in 1989 from Virginia Commonwealth University and came to California State University in 1991 from the State University of New York at New Paltz. There she coordinated a Correctional Special Education Teacher Preparation Program. Dr. Eggleston has served as a principal of a juvenile correctional education school and as a statewide supervisor of Chapter 1 programs in a correctional school district. She has also taught emotionally disturbed and learning disabled students. She is additionally the president-elect of the Correctional Education Association. She edits and publishes the Journal of Correctional Education, and on top of all that, she is the director of the Center for the Study of Correctional Education. Welcome to today's live talk, Dr. Eggleston.
Thanks very much, Michelle.
Well, we're very happy to have you here today to talk about this topic. First, I'd like to talk about your thoughts on the importance of correctional education to the rehabilitation of offenders. What can you say to our audience about the effectiveness of correctional educational programs on recidivism and inmates' ability to stay out after their sentence is over?
Well, there really are several things, I think, that make correctional education a very important, maybe the most important program for inmate students. Initially, the idea of education programs in prisons was really, it really kind of evolved as an idea that it would be a management tool for corrections, just that it would be something that they could do to keep them busy while they were in prison. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. It certainly does serve that function. But in addition to that, education within the institution, both juvenile and adult corrections, is one of the few things that can be a route for the prisoner to change his or her life. It does transform in some cases. It doesn't in every case, of course, but public education doesn't transform every student either.
That's right.
You can even call the prison school, in a way, the students there are the recidivists of the public school system. You know, they didn't really make it through the public school system. But it is one of the few things that can change a person so that they can have a different kind of life. Not unusual for a prisoner to kind of look around at age 22, 24 and realize, gee, I'm either going to be in this prison for the rest of my life or dead, or I'm going to have a different route. And that's when education makes a difference, and it's why it's so important to have it available. It's also, we do have some research that suggests prison education does help students to not come back.
Right.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that your center does quite a bit of that. That's the name, but also, that's what you're, at a university and looking at this issue specifically.
Yes, and of course, a lot of what we do at the center deals with teachers who work in prison. We do a lot of program stuff for prisoners as well, but a lot of our work is helping teachers to be better trained to work in the institution.
Oh, okay.
That's a real major focus because the couple of us that work in it came up through teaching in prisons and realized we were we needed so much additional work because our traditional training program didn't do what it needed to do.
Now, based on sort of your experience and your research, are there certain programs that you see as really vital to helping an offender succeed after release?
Well, one of the things that has been a problem with these recent cutbacks, and we can talk about that a little bit more as well, but one of the problems has been prison education programs often have had to choose between which program they're going to cut and which one they're going to leave. And I really do believe that all of the programs are viable, and I don't like the idea that prison schools will eliminate GED programs so that they can focus just on ABE, and that is what some of them have done, and I think that's an unfortunate thing. Some of the research, there's been a three-state recidivism research study that's been done by the CEA recently, has suggested that education does make a difference in the institution. And in the early 90s, there was a study done in New York State that looked at post-secondary education and found that that was a real indicator of success because students started identifying as scholars rather than prisoners or criminals. And of course, with the recent budget cutbacks and some of the legislation, we have very few programs that are post-secondary for prisoners in the country.
Right. Now, you're sort of saying that GED and ABE, which is Adult Basic Ed, is that right?
Yes.
Does that tend to happen when money is tight, that they kind of get pitted against each other?
It can happen. Certain schools, particularly when you're dealing with a juvenile system or an adult system that has agreed to provide special education for students,
mm-hmm.
those students tend to be in the ABE program. And when there's a limited budget and you have required programs, that's where the money goes. And
okay.
so some systems have made that decision to eliminate most of the GED programs and focus just on ABE. And I think that's unfortunate.
Well, there's sort of a damage in the short run, and I would think damage in the long run, depending on how long you keep that kind of a thing going.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a short-term game. And you know, I certainly understand the dilemma, but
yes.
I think it's unfortunate when students aren't allowed to go beyond, like, a seventh grade.
Well, and also, is there sort of a cycle you start when you stop offering an educational program that, you know, the inmates don't have another alternative, and so when they are released, they turn back to what they know and maybe end it back up in the system again?
Well, I think it does affect recidivism in that way. I think that if you don't have the kind of programs that can allow them to make a permanent change, it's hard enough to go back on the street after having been a felon, but with fewer benefits, fewer skills, that's going to be a terrible problem. And I think that it also reinforces the idea that education in prison is not important when you can just whack these classes. The other thing that is a very disturbing trend that's going on just now is a lot of the vocational education programs are being cut. And in some systems, like here in California, they're focusing almost entirely on the vocational education programs. And again, that gives a student fewer skills. If he or she does not have some vocational training when they get out, that's one less thing that they have to use to work their way out of crime.
Sure.
And so focusing on eliminating those programs, I think, is a problem.
And I would think that, you know, if an ex-offender is trying to land a job, that, you know, having some sort of certificate or having a GED diploma is really, you know, saying, here, I'm serious. You know, hire me versus, you know, not having it.
Right. It's an indication of having achieved something that's positive in a way that they don't have otherwise. And with a vocational training, they actually do have a skill that they can use to perhaps get some kind of an entry-level job that really could give them an out to the route through crime.
Now, would you have some thoughts about what agencies might be able to do to help keep educational programming alive, even if they are faced with budget cuts?
Well, I don't have any magic ideas. I wish I could say that I did, but...
Where's your magic wand?
Yeah, I mean, if I had something magic, I'd love to share it. But I do think that there's a kind of a disturbing trend that's going on now where a lot of the systems within the corrections environment, rather than all of the program people being together, or all of the corrections people being together, the other programs are looking at education as, well, this is one area that can be cut. We want to keep our program set, but education could be cut. And I think that's a problem. I'd like to see the corrections programs work together rather than fight against each other, because I think a little bit of a cut from each area is more appropriate than whacking kind of one area.
Right.
Another thing that helps, I think, is the idea of a correctional school district, because this is an organizational structure where the correctional education programs are offered in a way that kind of parallels a public school environment.
Mm.
And the structure itself helps to provide some protections to education because it allows the educators to look eye to eye with other educators. And so we're not kind of the second stepchild. We really are considered education programs. And that organizational structure does help, I think, protect some of the programs in the long run.
Now, are many agencies set up that way?
It's really a small group within the country. There are basically three different structures. By far the most common is to have a division within a Department of Corrections, within education, and it's just one more inmate program, like all the others. That's by far the most common. There is a kind of an intermediate step where we call that the bureau model, where they are within the Department of Corrections, but they have a separate status that allows them to be a little bit more independent.
I see.
And then the correctional school district is done in, I don't know, there's probably five or six states that have it now. And in that structure, the education is offered either as a separate state agency or within the purview of the Department of Education within that state, something like that, that has protection so that it is considered a regular public school district.
Okay.
And they're available in both juvenile and adult prisons.
If you're just joining us, we're talking to Carolyn Eggleston, co-director for the Center for the Study of Correctional Education, about the topic of correctional education and keeping it alive despite tough budget times. We've been talking a little bit about these budget cuts, Carolyn, and can you talk about the effect that budget cuts to correctional education have on an agency's ability to get teachers? And do teachers, in, you know, down the road when money comes back, do they really want to come to a correctional education program if you trim it all away?
Yeah, I think this is really one of the central problems. I mean, the biggest problem, of course, is that inmate students don't get education, and
sure,
that by far is the most important one. But the idea of being able to just eliminate education programs whenever the budget is tight reinforces how little importance we place on education within the institution. It's already difficult enough for us to get teachers to work in institutions. You know, why would a teacher do that? You don't grow up wanting to be a correctional educator.
Right.
You know, it's not something that you kind of aspire to. The vast majority of us fell into it by accident. And this just reinforces that it's not a secure job, that it's something that is a frill that can be eliminated at any time. And so even though the short-term problems that we're dealing with right now are significant, I believe that the long-term problems are even more difficult, potentially.
It kind of weaken the system.
We're already stepchildren.
Yeah. And I know you were saying that one of the dangerous things about these budget cuts is that you can tend to pit a program against another, but I feel like, you know, maybe there are agencies out there that are going to have to cut something, and, you know, is there like a roadmap to what really vital things you need to keep and stuff that you might be able to cut back a little bit on? And
well, there probably are in some systems. The central problem, I believe, is there's not a lot of fat in most education programs.
Sure.
There just isn't. Now, some systems have had some a bit of success with looking at their administrative structure, mm-hmm, and kind of carving down some of the administrative ranks so that the teacher ranks are more protected. But I think in general, my view, if I were having to do this, and I have done this over the years, you know, because we go through these cycles.
Sure.
I think the wisest thing to do is to look at each of the programs and try to, rather than eliminate a program wholesale, try to reduce each program a certain amount.
I see.
Because I think you have to have ABE programs. Mm-hmm. I think adult basic education, of course, is where it starts.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you have to have GED programs, which is the equivalency for the high school diploma. And I think you have to have some vocational programs. But this would be a time to look at, let's say, that outdated vocational ed program. that maybe is going to cost a lot to get the equipment up to speed,
mm-hmm.
that might be one program that can go. But the wisest choice, I believe, and I, as I say, I have no crystal ball, but I think the wisest choice is to try to reduce each program to a certain extent so that there is something available at all three of those levels.
At all of those levels, so that inmates keep having choices.
Right.
Well, that concludes today's live talk. Thank you, Carolyn Eggleston, Director of the Center for the Study of Correctional Education at California State University, San Bernardino, for joining us today.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Oh, we're very happy to have you. And thank you also to our audience for tuning in. For more information on maintaining correctional education in tough budget times, be sure to read this week's articles on corrections.com. For CCNN, I'm Michelle Gassell.
You are listening to the Corrections Connection News Network, CCNN, your weekly news source for the corrections and criminal justice industry.